The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum of Accelerated Government Strategies, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum from Accelerated Government Strategies, providing advisory consulting for innovative startups to help grow government revenue. Every week, Aileen and Gigi welcome Washington, D.C.'s most ambitious and influential female executives who are taking risks to engineer success and shape the future. Women of Washington on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Now your hosts, Aileen Black and Gigi Shum.
I'm Aileen Black.
And I'm Gigi Shum.
Today, our guest is Lexi Kessler. Lexi is the partner in charge of Aronson LLC Government Contract Services Group. Alexandra, or Lexi, Kessler connects with her clients with solutions, resources, and contacts that they need to succeed in an ever-changing government landscape.
Thank you for having me.
Virtually all successful women we speak to had a big influence growing up. What or who was your biggest influence?
I think actually my mother was. She was very much, she was the first female to go to college, but she went for 2 years and she didn't, because she met my father and then she got out and then I was there a year later, right? So, but she was also very much of, you don't ever want to be financially dependent on somebody. You want to be able, I wanted to prove to myself I could support myself on my own and didn't have to be with somebody to do that. So it really drove me to be focusing on being able exactly that, prove that I could do things on my own if I ever had to. So it wasn't where you were dependent on somebody.
So your mom was the first woman, female in your family to finish college?
No, she was the first one to go to college. I was the first one to finish.
Oh, wow.
College on my mom's side of the family, right? Okay. And that side I call is American. Like they came over in the 1700s from England and Scotland, and whereas my dad was direct from Greece. So I was had the experience of both sides of that. But that side I call is American because they've been here for so long in the United States. So
when you went to college, you majored in accounting at the University of Maryland. So it sounds like you knew from the beginning that you wanted to be an accountant, which is actually pretty rare among the people that we talk to that they knew from the beginning. So is that true or was how did that happen?
That's semi-true. You know, when I went to college, it was, you know, your parents were very much, if we're spending this money, you need to be able to make a living, right? And have a job that you can support yourself with. And so I was good in math. Back then in high school, they had, it was really a bookkeeping class. But I just thought it was very logical to me. I could figure it out and it was okay. And when I got to school, I enjoyed computer science as well. But I would have to transfer from College Park to a different campus. I didn't want to leave my friends. So I defaulted back to business school and ended up majoring in accounting. Because marketing, I was terrified about. Like that was just having to do sales, I thought. And accountants tend to be more introverted, even though you kind of got past that as I grew up. But the other piece that I thought was fascinating, which I think has helped so much in what I do, because accounting really is a people business, certainly public accounting. There was a major, I guess, or a program called American Studies. And that was the study of subcultures, in essence. And I always found that fascinating. So I think that because I have such an interest in that, that's actually helped just with the natural affinity I had for math. And it just kind of converged into that, but yeah, somewhat direct, sort of, kind of.
So did you minor in the American Studies?
Or? No, I didn't minor in it, but I basically filled all my electives with it and just used that because I found it just so interesting, just the different cultures, that, even within the United States, different subcultures that exist. And so I think that helps me in relating with people, actually.
You've been working at Aronson a very long time, but what was your very first paying job?
My very first paying job was working in the jewelry department at Sears in Montgomery Mall. That was my first job.
Now, what made you apply there and start there?
My mom was a secretary for Sears back then, and so she knew some people. And it was just a part-time to make some money, you know, in summer when I was in school. And so that's what I did, was just the retail side of it.
So what highlights and challenges have you had during your career at Aronson?
Oh, goodness. you know, with public accounting, it's a very demanding profession. And I would say the biggest challenge that I had to overcome was how can I find the right balance for personal professional? You know, back when I started, which was 32 years ago, it was just beginning to be acceptable for women to have alternative work arrangements. Like, it was progressive for a firm to begin to do that. And I was a little intimidated by a partner level hours and what that would mean, because I didn't want to be working that much. And even today, I you know, people say that, well, if you're a female, it's okay to work part-time because of a family. Well, what if you don't have a family? What if you just have interests that are outside of work? And then I've told people, I was like, well, it's great that, you know, yeah, I needed flexibility. My kids were growing up, but I also married my husband because I like to spend time with him, and I plan on doing that. So that was one of my biggest challenges, is how do I reconcile that? And I was very fortunate to have a firm that I could do it, and I didn't have to work those hours. But the reality is I worked pretty close to those hours because I was passionate about what I did. I just made it a bigger hurdle than it needed to be.
So what strategy did you use to approach your employer to get to a point where you could find that balance?
Well, at first it was, I would say I don't want to be a partner, but I want to work here. And, you know, I just need flexibility, and I'll be happy to work some of the tax season hours, but I need to come and go when, you know, and have flexibility, because I went to pretty much every sporting event, school concert, soccer game. I was at all of them. I didn't miss any of them. But I was also sometimes on the phone on the sidelines, keeping things going. But it was just direct communication. I was very fortunate as well, because there was a male founding partner and then another female partner who was really one of my mentors. And she was very much, she could understand it. Now, she chose a different path. She definitely worked a lot more than I did, which was a little bit, you know, intimidating. Like, how can I match that even? But she was very understanding, because her kids were very close. We had kids pretty close together. So we would go through things. Like, she was just about a year or two ahead. So it'd be like, well, what about this? What about that? What driving school did you use? What SAT prep class did you send your kids to? And but she could get what it meant to have young kids and what you want that balance to be. So that was just really helpful to me to have that.
Being in an accounting firm and being on a partner track is very similar to what we think of like a law firm and being mm-hmm. on the partner track. So at what point did you decide, oh, okay, because you're a partner now. Mm-hmm. So at some point you must have decided you wanted to be on that track. And
right.
And did it take you a lot longer because you, you didn't want to at the beginning, or because you made those decisions to be with your family?
Yeah, so it did take longer because I didn't make the decision till later. And when I did, it wasn't like it was just more of having to position for the growth and the clients to be there to allow for another partner to be in the firm. And I came to this realization that I love my clients. That's why I do what I do. And I love the people I work with. And if I took home psychologically, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this needs to happen. This is very important, blah, blah, blah. And I worked the hours I was working. Why wouldn't I? Like, I was selling myself short. And why would I do that? And I was like, if I work this hard, I'm that committed to it, I deserve the recognition for it. So I just went in for my evaluation. I said, yeah, I think I would be partner now. That was it. So, yeah. So it was probably about 3 to 4 years after that conversation that I became a partner.
So when you say you came to this realization that you had been selling yourself short, did anybody say that to you, or you just kind of figured that out on your own?
I just kind of figured it out on my own. And you know what? I had to be the one to figure it out. It couldn't be somebody telling me that. You have to figure it out for yourself, and you have to be comfortable with it, because it's a commitment. I mean, it's whatever it is, right, that you're going to commit to, whether it's you're going to get promoted. Well, you need to commit to perform at that level. Right? And that has to come from within.
We're speaking with Lexi Kessler, partner at Aronson LLC. Coming up, we'll ask Lexi about her leadership style. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today, we're talking with Lexi Kessler, partner Aronson LLC.
I read some statistics in preparation for this, and women get over half the accounting degrees from college.
That's correct.
And make up almost half, or roughly half, of the number of accountants. But when you look at partners, that number drops from like, you know, 49% of the population down to 21, 22% of the population. And there, you know, I saw varying statistics, some of which seem to indicate that it's gotten better, some of which seem to indicate that it's sort of been stagnant over the last couple of years. So what, you know, it's not unlike what we see in other fields, not unlike what we see in law, which, you know, we talked about. But how do you encourage more women? What changes would you make to, you know, solve that problem and begin to even those scales?
So, you know, you're absolutely right. And I want to share an experience that I had not too long ago to tag on to that, because I'm very involved with the American Institute of CPAs. I'm on their governing council right now. And every twice a year, they have an East Coast, West Coast major firms group meeting, which is some of the top firms as far as size wise in the United States. And it's two executives from the companies, and they meet and talk about challenges of the profession. It's a great venue. And I was invited to go to my first one. And this was probably 5 years ago. And we were running late. It was the middle of day start. Walked into the room. And you're trying to focus on not being disruptive, you know, trying to get to your seat. And as I start to sit down, it was like my body went into slow motion as I took in what was in the room. Because there was probably 120 people in that room, of which there were maybe three other female attendees that were outside of AICPA. And there was no diversity in age or ethnicity either in that room. And I was stunned that the top leadership roles in my profession still did not have many females. And unfortunately, I work closely with some of the leadership of AICPA, and they really are putting some things into place, some great training programs and the like to help encourage that. But they've also allowed some women to be guests and invited to this, which I really encourage. Anytime you have an opportunity to get involved with the top tier leadership of your profession, do it. Because a lot of times we get intimidated. And I think it's just, it's a female thing. And I think men too. But when you get into that room and you start talking to these people, you realize they're people, they're human beings, and you're no different than them. And you actually can do what they're doing. And it's really like this weight gets lifted from your shoulders, from that intimidation or that little silly fear that's inside. And so I really strongly encourage anybody to do that, because it's really liberating. But as far as me personally, you know, for so many years, I've been leading this practice area, and it's very much focused about external branding and in the community. And I realized that I wasn't spending as much internal time. I was so focused on the external piece of it. So I really tried to balance that back. And focusing on really developing some relationships on rising women leaders within my firm, very informally. There's nothing formal about it. Just let's grab lunch, let's go talk, let's grab a drink. What's going on? What are the growing pains that you're experiencing? And things that, even though you maybe are only 5 years into your career or 10 years into your career, you need to start thinking about getting involved and creating your personal brand, because that is so important. For anybody to create that personal brand and trying to encourage them and think about, again, it's more of coaching them, not telling them, but just trying to help them figure out, again, coming from within, what it needs to be.
You know, there was an interesting study that came out a few months ago from a combination of McKinsey and the Lean In Org. And this was not about the accounting profession. It was much more general than that. Mm-hmm. It was, I forget how many different professions that they looked at. But what they were showing is that right from the get-go, from a woman's first or the first promotion that they could be eligible for, women were falling behind men. And when they kind of broke that down, they found out that one of the things that you just said, that they had less access to senior members of their company or their organization, as well as got fewer of the challenging or high profile work job challenges. And so it almost does start at that very beginning, right? You were saying just a few years into your career, you have to think about it.
It really does. And I also would encourage, and I've read that book, and I had my daughter read it, who's a young adult. She's living and working in New York City now. And I wouldn't mind my son reading it, because I think with today's generation, it's not just female, right? Mm-hmm. It really is emerging leaders in general. And I think this generation, because it is this balance of life, you know, quality of life, that it's men as well. It's not just women. But I think what was very important is that we talked about this word mentor. And one of the things I thought was spot on in the book was you need to know what you need to figure out. What do you want to learn from this person, though? And I would never have a problem. Somebody said, hey, Lexi, you know, I kind of want to ask you some questions, or just even like, so how did you get to where you got to today? Or what do you see happening in the profession? Whatever it may be, but come with something, right? Because I can't be the one to dictate the relationship. It really has to come from within. And I think a lot of people don't realize their superior, their bosses, whatever, they're accessible. They really are. I mean, there's probably a handful of organizations where maybe they're not. But if anybody came into my office and asked me to shoot me an email, I'd be thrilled that they were reaching out to me. It's very rewarding to help somebody.
So on the theme of leadership, how would your life experiences made you the leader that you are today? You clearly are a leader in your field.
Wow, that's a broad question. I think because, you know, I came from a family that was strongly committed to education, no question, but it was financially challenging, right? So I think that I can appreciate, I mean, we weren't poor in food, you know, there was nothing like that. I grew up in Montgomery County. I went to Wooten High School. So, you know, I was raised in a very middle-class area, but my family was not a wealthy family living in that area. And so I could appreciate other things. And I think that I don't take things for granted. I think maybe that's what I'm trying to get to. I just don't take things for granted. I can appreciate where somebody's coming from. I respect where they're coming from. You know, when somebody is struggling to understand something, the fact that they're trying or they're exploring goes such a long way with me versus somebody that just doesn't care.
So have you found as a woman in a field dominated by men that you need to approach your leadership situation or a situation like that differently than maybe your male peers?
You know, I think that it's really self-confidence, to be honest with you. Like within my own firm, I mean, there's not, we have probably about 25% ballpark of our partners are female. But I've never been intimidated because of being a female. I think because I grew up, so to speak, at the firm. So I've known these men for a long time. But externally, because I focus on the government contracting industry, and certainly we have some of these mergers and acquisition type events, they tend to be a little bit more male dominated. But you just, again, going back to where these people are just people. There's no reason to be intimidated. So I really think it's just a self-confidence that it's how I can not allow that to be a barrier, maybe.
Do you alter your style sometimes depending upon the situation? I mean, you know, how about facing with millennials today? You're hiring the next generation of the leaders there in the firm or in the industry in general. Have you had to alter your approach?
I do sometimes. And I go with, there's a great book that I read that focused on generationals. There's a lot of them that are out there. But what this made this one unique for me was that it gave the background on why those generations are the way that they are. And then you can relate and change your language a little bit and how you use your language in communicating with them. And you can get the same message across, but knowing where they are coming from as a generalization, not everybody's like that, but it's very powerful. Actually, it's a very helpful tool.
So I can imagine that, you know, I'm sort of just picturing as you talk what your job might be like, right? You lead a large group at Aronson, but you are also externally focused, helping large government contractors through...
And small. Yes.
Through large and small, through mergers and acquisitions, and I'm sure other events, right? And so I would imagine that your customer base is primarily older, male, you know, and then there's this generational difference between, you know, that your workforce that you're sort of trying to mentor and bring up. So, you know, how do you shift your style and your focus to keep up with that?
You need to know who you're talking to and their background in a way. Because again, it goes back to shifting how you approach them. And it's funny that you say that because now that I'm getting older, my client base is getting younger. It's funny how that happens. And I'm finding I have to shift yet again how to relate to a business owner that's 15 years younger than me. because it's very different than the business owner that is now has been doing their company for many, many years, is in their 60s, and they're ready to be done, right? They want to sell, they want to exit out and enjoy retirement because that's their biggest asset. But it helps with public accounting, just the business model that we have. We hire so many employees straight out of college. Over 50% of our employees are millennials. So you have to adapt. But the beauty of that is that it makes you a better business advisor, actually.
Today, we're talking with Lexi Kessler, partner at Aronson LLC. Coming up, we'll ask Lexi about mentors in her career. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today, we're talking with Lexi Kessler, partner Aronson LLC.
We always talk about mentorship, and you've talked a little bit about helping younger people. Have you had important mentors in your career?
Oh, absolutely. Certainly, there was the woman I alluded to earlier. She rose to being obviously a partner. I worked with her very closely, and then she became the firm's managing partner for 9 years. And she was, I believe she was the first female managing partner for a major firm in the state of Maryland. So, which was great to be. And to me, it just seemed like that was normal. So she was a huge help, again, because we were going through the same phase of life together. And there's also, two other men. When I look about, there was probably three partners in my career that I learned different things from each of them. And I pulled those pieces together to create my own style, if that makes sense. It was very helpful to have that, to have three people that, yeah, I can connect with this piece of how they do that or this. And to this day, well, one is retired, so we don't see him as often. But the other two, I still work with one of them. The other one, we do keep in touch. She's actually expecting her first grandchild any day now, so it's kind of exciting. So she can go through that experience first. I can wait a little bit for that one. There's also a different type of mentor, but somebody that really taught me so much. When I mentioned about the personal brand, he was a gentleman that used to work with our firm, and he was his expertise was really sales marketing, and he taught me so much about creating that personal brand, which I think had no idea in looking back how important that really was to who I've become today. And it takes years to develop it, which is why I was saying working with women so much younger, or just even young professionals, I should say. You really need to start. And in today's world, it's so much easier because your personal brand can be through legitimate, blog posts or through LinkedIn or, the social media where you can put out who you are and begin to create that brand of expertise. And so I think there's a lot of tools available to do that. But I think those are some of the ones that truly stand out. And this is going to sound really silly, but a huge driving force was really my husband. He was, it's funny when we first got married, I was more introverted. He was much more extroverted, and we've kind of balanced each other out over the years, but he was always the one that's like, what are you worried about? You can do it, just go do it, So he has been a huge supporter.
Yeah. I think that, that doesn't sound silly. We have heard often that one of the best pieces of advice, and I think Sheryl Sandberg even had this in her book Lean In, is one of the most important decisions is who you marry. Yes. Because it can make a tremendous difference in how supportive sure. they are. So,
and even in your friends, friendships,
absolutely
as well. So,
is there any piece of advice that you've been given along the way that you've come to rely on, and maybe you even find yourself repeating to the young professionals that now work for you?
Yeah, there was one in particular, and it was from this female former managing partner, and she, we're in one of my evaluations, and it was like the stress of what I was going through and everything, and she says, but you have to realize the stress that you put on yourself is what makes you good at what you do. You just have to find the balance of it. And it was spot on, because if you don't put the pressure on yourself, which you have to do, that's what motivates you, or whatever words you want to use, that what helps you to be good at what you do. And so I've used that a lot with other people that are growing up behind me, because you have to acknowledge it has to be present, but not allow it to consume you.
So Lexi, I'm going to turn the question around for a moment. We talked about people who've mentored you, but have you had the opportunity to mentor the next generation, in particular younger women?
Yes, I have. Several, yes.
So how did they find you? Is this a formal program there at Aronson? How does a mentee become your...
So we are just putting into something more formal firm-wide. But a lot of it's just from day-to-day interactions. You're just working together, and you start to help to guide them or give them advice. And, over the years, when you see... the culture within our group has very much been about the next generation. So it's always been about training and developing. And I joke around, I call it work, because I'm very careful about personal and professional, but I call my work friendships, professional friendships, where you truly do develop a friendship with people that you work with. You work a lot, you spend more time with them than you do at home. So, but some of my proudest moments have been when you see somebody overcome something and they are so stoked by it. It's just the best. It really is. And then when they see them overcome it and they'll say, you were right, which I'm not trying to be right. I don't mean it to sound like that, but it was very much of they heard it, they listened, they acted on it, and they were able to overcome the psychological hurdles of what it was. Because there's been multiple people I've said, you're your own worst enemy right now. And this is what you need to think about, and how to get past that. But when you see somebody that, people over my career that when they get promoted to partner, it is just awesome, because they've achieved the beginning. What they don't realize is their next journey, but they've hit a spot that was a professional accomplishment for what they wanted to do.
So it sounds like Aronson has somewhat of a formal or a semi-formal program for
mentors.
Yes,
it does.
But what if you're somebody out there who's looking for mentors? I know there's many different areas and places that you can find mentors. I know you're very active networking. You belong to several associations. Can you give any advice to folks out there that may be looking for a mentor outside of their work environment?
Sure. I think that's where some of the professional associations make a difference, because another one that's been just tremendous for me at a more national level was a former chair of the AICPA. And he was my sponsor for helping to get me engaged and involved with the organization. And when you hear his perspective, he's from Louisiana, so he's very laid back, and how he'll say something, it's just very insightful. So I think that look to professional societies and also look to industry organizations and get involved on committees. When you do that, you get to know people. It's not just going to an event. When you're on committees, they get to know you, you get to know them. And when you realize how they will approach a situation, you can actually learn from it. So you get a lot of informal mentorship by attending a board meeting or a committee meeting from people that are just amazing leaders out there with what they do. And you can learn so much from them on a committee. It's really, you just have to be listening for it.
Today we're talking with Lexi Kessler, partner at Aronson LLC. So, Lexi, you've spent your entire career with Aronson, and it's important today, I guess always really, but it seems to be even more competitive today, that companies have to be able to recruit the best and brightest graduates coming out of college. You mentioned that so much of your workforce is millennials. How do you and how does Aronson compete in that recruiting environment and, continue to evolve to be a firm that people want to work for?
Sure. That's a great question. It is hard to compete when you are going against somebody that's taking all the kids down to Disney World for a week. So we can't do that. But because it's millennials, it made me use different language and how I communicate what we do. Because accounting is hard to say, is it sexy, right? Like a financial statement or a tax return. But it's phenomenal knowledge. It's a phenomenal base of knowledge. And how I've changed my communication, and this is true, this is why I continue doing it, is that you can make the difference in the lives of our clients. Okay. So when we have worked with closely held businesses and you help that client get through liquidating their biggest asset, and you help them with the things they needed to do and the steps along the way over many years to the realizations when they get that wire into their checking account or their investment account, whatever, and they thank you for you helping them, it's incredibly rewarding. And that is what accounting is about. And that's what helps them to, it's hard to believe it, but it really is about that. And it's about helping people, but just in a financial way. And, you know, and everybody's different. Some people want to be with the very large companies, and I respect that. But we're a real nice middle in between. And that's what attracted me to Aronson to begin with back when I was going through on-campus recruiting at University of Maryland. And it's a nice balance for that. And you get to know the business owners. Again, professional friendships. It's the same type of thing.
And you mentioned kind of changing the way that you talk to millennials. We've heard from other people that millennials are much more mission oriented than, mm-hmm. say, Gen Xers or baby boomers. So have you found that resonates, talking more about kind of the end result rather than, oh, you know, we offer competitive salaries and we offer these perks and you can make a lot of money? And
those are all still important to them. I don't believe it's not. Maybe not the driving force, but it's definitely important to them. Yeah, when I changed my language when I was on campus doing recruiting or speaking to some of the students and some of the, because I've had an opportunity to be in some of the classrooms there at an American university, and you see their body language, like they connect with it and they like that. And I'm not sure it's just that's the theme for their generation, but there's people in different generations that's important to them too.
Today we're talking with Lexi Kessler, partner at Aronson LLC. Coming up, we'll find out what Lexi likes to do when she's not working. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today, we're talking with Lexi Kessler, partner Aronson LLC.
We've talked all about your job, and we've talked about the profession of accounting. But you do, I hope, have at least a little bit of a life outside that. So what do you like to do when you're not working?
I love to bake. I actually love to entertain. I am the type where the day before Thanksgiving, you will never find me in the office because I have mapped out my grocery list and my cooking, and I am cooking all day long the day before Christmas Eve, the same thing. I'm in my zone with that because it's just about friends and family, and it's just, I love doing it. And when my kids are really little, because you're always looking for ways to, you know, you have this making sure that you're doing things for them, even though you're working, right? So I took cake decorating classes because I figure when they're little, they won't know if they're not very pretty, right? So I did that. I made Barbie cakes and Mickey Mouse cakes. I've been up, at, you know, till 11 o'clock at night decorating these cakes. And even my daughter, she loved peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And so I would once a month make homemade rolls and stick them in freezer bags and take them out on Sunday nights so she'd have her rolls for the week and make her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So I think it's just something about when you do something and people enjoy it, it makes them happy, you know, and especially people that you love. It's a very nice feeling. So,
Lexi, you've had such a successful career. With all the competing priorities in life, women often have to make some hard choices. Sometimes those decisions have either delayed or dampened their success or send them in a different direction than originally planned. You talked a little bit about some of your decisions as you're going. Did you encounter any obstacles or difficult career decisions that just, you know, come to mind right away that you'd like to share with somebody who might be facing the same challenges out there?
There was one most recently. It was really a career path decision of, you know, would I want to run for a managing partner position or not? And I actually personally hired a leadership coach I had used several years ago for a couple of months just to help me figure it out. And we kind of really went through and having to think about what do you truly enjoy doing, and just went through a whole process. And it was a lot of soul searching as well, because, you know, I mean, you've got runway left. You're kind of, what do I want my next chapter to be, right? I'm 53 years old. Not that that's old, but, you know, I'm not going to work these hours till I'm 65. So what is it I want to accomplish? So it was a great process to go through, and it made me really focus in on the things that I enjoy doing. And I made the deliberate decision not to run. Now, whether I would have won or not is a whole nother discussion, but I decided not to do it. And that was a real fork in the road for me because it's just a different type of work. And there was a piece of me that felt like, you know, it sounds silly, but am I letting down other female women with the story I just said about the major firms where there's, you know, the top leadership? But I was like, well, you know what? I can lead in other ways. It doesn't have to be that way. And things that I might enjoy more and do it from a community perspective or within my profession perspective. you know, trying to grow and advance further in what I'm doing with the AICPA, which is the governing body of our profession. So I decided to focus my efforts more in those areas.
We find that most guests want to make a difference in the world a different way than maybe mm-hmm. historically.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you work that and discuss that with your coach?
Well, a lot of it was just sitting down and making a list of why would I want to do this and why would I not want to do it? And put it in writing, because you really have to think about it if you have to write it down. And then what are the things that I do enjoy doing? You know, when you do it, write it down, you know, and then you can just reflect back on it. And when you look at it, it becomes then very, you end up arriving at facts to support the emotions, and it makes it a little bit clearer to see the picture of the direction that you want to go in. And that was very helpful to me to do that.
We had a guest on recently that was saying that one of the traps that women in particular tend to fall into is sometimes they will take on other people's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you did a great job of sort of understanding what was somebody else's expectation or thought about what you might do or should do versus what you enjoyed to do and wanted to do.
You know, there's a little bit of a luxury being at this point in your career. You know, the comment you made about choices, it's funny, I kind of was chuckling inside on that, because one of the things I've really told my kids is you make your own choices. Like, the one thing I want for you in life is that nobody else is making the choices for you, right? So you need to do the things that make it where you have that choice. And I've always kind of taken, in reflecting back, that path of, okay, I'm not sure what I want to do, so I'm going to do these things that I can choose when I'm ready to choose. And, you know, just something as simple as get good grades in school, then you can choose which college you go to, right? Instead of the college saying, no, you can't come here. So it goes throughout your career as well. And, you know, one of the things I'm exploring now is do I want to do board roles, board service type things? Well, if I want to do that, I'm starting now to think about what is it I personally, who do I need to get to know? What do I need to do? How do I need to approach this so that in 5 or 6 years, if that's what I want to do, I can choose to hopefully do that. So you really, it's a little bit of planning, but don't get like too hung up on it too at the same time. There's that balance we talked about. So,
well, speaking of balance, that's exactly the question that I want to ask next, because we always, you know, we often ask about work-life balance, and we know that that's a complete, you know, misnomer, mm-hmm. that there truly is no such thing. But when I think about accounting as a profession, it can be one of the more imbalanced professions in terms mm-hmm. of the timing, right? You know, everybody has busy times at work and less busy times at work, but the accounting profession, I mean, from basically January through April, you guys are just crazy in right. terms of the number of hours that you need to put in. It's so seasonal. So how did you deal with that? And particularly when your kids were younger mm-hmm. and you had, you know, more family demands, how did you deal with that?
Well, my right hand was my mother-in-law who lived with us, and she was a huge help with the kids, huge, huge help. But so that was the home piece of it. But knowing going into tax season, I would take like a weekend and I would roast 4 chickens and put them in the freezer. I would bake these pot roast things and put them in the freezer so that during the week we could take something out that I'd made and we could have it through tax. So I would kind of think about what were the meals, because I couldn't cook them at home. And my husband was running around too. But he had a job where he could get home easier. But there was always where I would, I was always home certain days of the week. I was not going to work late every night. And work late, I don't have the stamina to work till midnight. That's just, it was never me. But I was incredibly productive. And I just was focused and I got my work done. And I didn't need to stay till midnight sometimes. So, but those that are earlier in their careers, do try to figure out how you can create your own boundaries, because that's really important. Because the last thing you want, your employer really wants to have happen, is for you to burn out and leave. And that's, you know, that's not healthy for you either. But it's okay when you're earlier in your career, use that mentor to, how do I create these boundaries? This is what I want to do. I'm passionate about it. But how can I create that boundary?
Lexi, you have had such a successful career. If you were to go back in time to Lexi as she was crossing that stage at University of Maryland, what pieces of advice would you give her to help achieve the success that you've been able to enjoy in today's world?
Chill out. That'd be the first thing. I can be a little anal and just kind of relax a little bit about it. But I'm a firm believer of you never know. You never know what meeting with that person will bring both of you. You just never know what attending something will bring. You never know what getting to know this other person will bring as far as connections. Rewarding on both sides of it. And so I really, it's evolved where like the joke is in the office is like, well, you never know. Look what happened. You know, and I think that that's one of the biggest things. And I think going back to that choices, like being more focused about those choices, I just kind of happened to do that, not very deliberately, but it definitely would have been, you know, think about what you might want to do. What do you want to do in 5 or 10 years? And start to create that landscape, the foundation for that, so you have a choice in that.
Today we've been talking with Lexi Kessler, partner at Aronson LLC. I'm Gigi Shum.
I'm Aileen Black.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum, founders of Accelerated Government Strategies. Learn more about AGS and the work they do to help accelerate your business plans for public sector at excelgovstrat.com. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Women of Washington, Wednesday afternoons at 1 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.